We're in Isaiah chapter number 6 this evening, Isaiah chapter number 6, and another 6-8 in your Bible. And Gideon showed me, where's Gideon at? Is he still here? He's down there. Is he studiously taking notes? He showed me his notebook. He's going to take notes of the service. I want to see your notes when you get done this evening. I encourage you to take notes during the service. Take notes when you read your Bible so you can remember. If you got memory as bad as mine, you need that note to remind you what was preached tonight, what God showed you from the Word of God. Isaiah chapter number 6. And I think Garrett gave a testimony of this verse the other day, and I thought, well, I can't wait till I get to something that I've looked at this verse many times, and something that most people overlook. And it just struck me some time ago. I may have preached on this one time a long time ago. I know I've mentioned it from time to time, but I'm going to focus on one statement that's easy to overlook in our text this evening. If you stand, if you will, you found your place here in Isaiah 6. And beginning in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God this evening. I pray that you would speak to us through this wonderful passage of Scripture. And God, that you would work in each of our hearts and lives tonight. We've looked at this verse and we've heard this passage of Scripture preached on many different ways for many different reasons. And God, I don't know if we really put it into context. We're going to look at it this evening. Oftentimes when we study this passage of Scripture, God, I pray that you would guide our thoughts tonight. And God, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, we need you tonight more than we ever know. Lord, we love you, yet we love you because you first loved us. And you love us more than we could ever comprehend. And God, we pray now that you would work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat if you will. Some have called this Isaiah's call to the ministry. It's really not his call to the ministry. He'd been in the ministry for some time when God gave him this verse. If anything, this would be Isaiah's second call to the ministry. And oftentimes when we look at this passage of Scripture, we look at the last phrase in verse number 8. But I'm going to look at the beginning tonight and the first 7 words in this passage of Scripture. And notice what it says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Why does God put that in there? That's more than just the date at the top of the paper. That's more than just the year of our Lord, 2022. In the year that King Uzziah died. There's something very significant about that year. And in Isaiah's life, especially. And I want to ask you a question tonight. We're going to get back to this question in a little bit. We're going to look at who King Uzziah was first. And then we're going to look at the prophet Isaiah, who wrote this passage of Scripture through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then I want to ask you the question, has your Uzziah died? Has your Uzziah died? First of all, let me look at some things about King Uzziah. Uzziah was, his name means the strength of Jehovah. He's also known by another name in the Bible, and that is Azariah. You're going to see another character named Azariah in a little bit. And that name means whom the Lord helps. He was the 10th king of Judah. Second Chronicles 26 tells us about his reign. There's not a lot written in the historical record of the Bible concerning Uzziah, but he was a very significant king to the nation of Judah after the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah. He was maybe the greatest king in the eyes of Judah, but not so much in the eyes of God. He reigned for 52 years. The Bible says he did right. He sought the Lord. He became king when he was 16 years old. By the way, think of that, a 16-year-old king. And he reigned for 52 years. How many are less than 52 years old right now? Most of you. Man, you're a bunch of young pups. And can you imagine? That's the only king you've ever known all your life. And he was, overall, history reminds us that he was a good king. He was accomplished many things in his reign. He defeated the Philistines, which were a constant enemy from the days of David, way back in the second king of the nation of Israel before they divided. He destroyed their major cities. He built up the kingdom of Judah, and other kings around the world paid tribute to him. He greatly fortified Jerusalem like it had never been fortified before. He raised up a great army and made Judah the strongest military power in the world at that time. He supplied his soldiers with the very best equipment, and it was unusual for kings to even give their soldiers supplies. He gave them uniforms. He gave them the best weaponry. Most soldiers in Bible times, they came up with their own weapons. They came up with whatever rags they could muster up to wear. He had many weapons of warfare were invented. Many machines, the Bible says, were invented by him. They were utilized by the military leaders under his command. He was marvelously helped, the Bible says. He made Judah great again. That's a good slogan that he could have claimed. Make Judah great again. And in fact, Judah reached its prime, his greatest years under King Uzziah as far as a nation is concerned. He built many towers and dug many wells throughout the country to help farmers make this the most prosperous time in the agricultural history and the export industry of Judah's history. He was second only to King Solomon in the greatness of his power, in the glory of the nation of Judah. And the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. He was a great king. The greatest throughout history. It would have been a wonderful time to be of the nation of Judah in the days of King Uzziah. But at the end of his life, we see an asterisk, a but. But his death was something different. And his death really tells the whole story of something I want to point out tonight. The Bible says at the end of his life, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And if you read the story, and we're not going to go back and read the entire story, you can check it out in 2 Chronicles 26 this evening if you'd like. He overstepped his authority. Here he was, this great king. And he said, you know, I'm the king of the land. I think I'd like to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Seems like a noble thing. He overstepped his authority because that wasn't under his jurisdiction. That was something the priest was anointed to do. But he thought, I'd like to do that. Well, he was confronted by a priest named Azariah, who shared a name with him. Maybe that's why God often points him out as Uzziah, because he was known by history as two different names, Azariah and Uzziah. But Azariah the priest and 80 other priests gathered together and said, sorry, king, we respect you, we honor you, but we're not going to let you offer this sacrifice. And Uzziah said, you get out of my way or I'll have every one of you killed. I've got the greatest army in the world. I can take care of every one of you with just a snap of my fingers. You'd be gone. You better let me do what I want to do. And he raised his threats against Azariah, and when he did that, God struck him with leprosy. And the rest of his days, he lived as a leper. The Bible says that he dwelt in a several house where the lepers lived, in exile, where he wasn't around to be anybody until the day of his death. And now we've come to the day, the year that King Uzziah died. Now, what about Isaiah? How does this tie in? Let's look at Isaiah for a little bit, and we're going to come back to that question that we asked you at the beginning. Isaiah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, of course, the book of Isaiah was given to him. Isaiah's name means salvation, or the salvation of Jehovah. He preached in Israel for 60 years. The book of Isaiah is recognized as the Old Testament prophetic gospel. There's more said prophecies concerning the Messiah in the book of Isaiah than any other book in the Old Testament. Oftentimes you'll see verses concerning the birth of the Messiah, the quotations from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53 gives us one of the most graphic details of the crucifixion of the Lord, written some 700 years before Jesus walked the face of this earth. Isaiah, the great prophet of God, he began, now this is important, he began his ministry while Uzziah was still on the throne. He began preaching while Uzziah was still the king. In other words, he was saved, he was called of God, he was anointed a prophet in the land, he preached, no doubt, to Uzziah many times. He was comfortable in his position. He lived in the greatest times of Israel's or Judah's history, and now he's preaching the Word of God. He had a very cushy situation, if you will, a very comfortable life. He had the king's ear. He had the king's respect. He had the king's friendship. But now, Uzziah's death is going to change everything in Isaiah's life. In the year that King Uzziah died, the national glory of Israel died with Uzziah, and it's never been revived, and it won't be revived until the greatness that it was under Uzziah, until the millennial kingdom, when Christ will sit on the throne of David that Uzziah once sat on. Uzziah's death sparked a revival, if you will, a transformation in Isaiah's life. Isaiah was already a great prophet. He was already well known. But something transformed him at the death of Uzziah. Alexander McLaren, a great commentator, a Baptist preacher from England a couple hundred years ago, wrote this of this verse: "If the throne of Israel had not been empty, Isaiah would not have seen God on heaven's throne. And so it is with all our losses, with all our sorrows, with all our disappointments, with all our pains. Just as men will frost a window so that the light may come in, but he cannot clearly see out, so too we frost and darken the window so that we cannot see what God wants to show us. And then a mighty, merciful hand breaks the painted glass into fragments, because it has been dimming the white radiance of eternity. Though the edges of the broken glass may cut and wound, yet the view is now unimpeded. When a great tree is fallen, there is an open view of the blue sky. When the night falls, the stars sparkle. When our King Uzziah dies, the King of Kings becomes visible." I ask you the question, has your Uzziah died? I want to look at some things tonight that the remainder of the message, and I've got four things I want you to jot down this evening. What happens when Uzziah dies? The same thing that happened in Isaiah will happen in us when our Uzziah dies. And let me again mention, it's a great loss in our eyes when Uzziah dies, but a great opportunity for revival. If there's one thing that I can see in this nation of ours, and this may upset some folks that are here tonight, I understand, and I love America just as much as anybody else, but let me say this, Ichabod's been written over the doorpost of America. But we don't want to admit that. God wants to work in America. God wants to work in America. Sometimes I wonder if he ever can. And again, listen carefully to this and don't throw any tomatoes yet. If God's going to work in America, we're going to have to put our proud flag down and fall on our faces before a holy God with our nose in this book. We've got to let our King Uzziah die so we can see God work again. And by the way, God's the one that made America great. Not our military strength, not our wisdom, not our ingenuity, not our free enterprise system. It was God himself that made America great. And when we turned our back on God many years ago, a long time ago, before most of our lifetime, America turned their back on God. And we're just starting to see the first fruits. And it's going to get much worse. And we want to sing the red, white, and blue and patriotic and everything else, but our pride's what's keeping us from seeing God the way he wants us to see him. What happens when Uzziah dies? Let me show you what happened to Isaiah when Uzziah died. First of all, in chapter 6 and verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. The first thing that happens when Uzziah dies, we can now see God for who he is. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. His train filled the temple. And I heard the seraphims, the angels, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Isaiah was already a prophet. But this is the first time he saw God for who he was. Would to God that we would see God for who he is again. When our Uzziah dies, when the view is cleared and we can see through the empty space that Uzziah once filled, we can see God for who he is. Secondly, when our Uzziah dies, we can see ourselves for who we are. And that doesn't happen until we see God for who he is. In verse number 5, Isaiah said, and we read the verses already, and then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Before Uzziah died, Isaiah looked pretty good in his own eyes. But now that he's seen the throne of God, he's seen a clear vision of God because Uzziah is out of the way. He's not only saw God for who he was, he sees himself for who he is. Now God can begin to use us the way he desires to use us when we see ourselves for who we are. When our pride is put away, when we learn what it is to die to ourselves, when our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts, and our will is no longer important, we realize that I'm nothing without him, and he is everything to me. And then the third thing, I've got four things I want to show you here. When Uzziah dies, we can see God for who he is. Secondly, we can see ourselves for who we are. And then in verse number 8, "Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" When our Uzziah dies, we see God for who he is, we see ourselves for who we are, and then we can fully surrender to God. And then we're free to fully surrender to God. I found in my life that many times when God takes a Uzziah away, that's a time that a lot of us get bitter, isn't it? "God, why'd you take that person away from me? Why'd you allow this to happen in my life?" But instead, Isaiah saw God, and he saw himself for who they were, and then he fully surrendered to God. And every time God works in our life, whether it's a small thing or a big thing, we have one of two choices to make. We can repent or we can rebel. We can turn from God or we can turn to God. But the choice is ours. And Isaiah fully surrendered to God when he realized who God was and who he was. And then in chapter 6 and verse number 11, one other thing, and then we're going to just make some applications here. Is your Uzziah dead? When our Uzziah dies, we can see God for who he is. We can see ourselves for who we are. And we can fully surrender to God. And then we can begin to go forward. In verse number 11, then said I, Lord, how long? How long will I serve you? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate, just keep going until I call you home. Don't give in. Don't quit. Just keep moving forward. Keep this in view that Uzziah is not your king. God is your king. And you see him on the throne and remember that you've seen him on the throne. Remember who you are and fully surrender to him and keep moving forward. And we'll say this is not the last heartache that Isaiah would have, but it's the one that made the big difference in his life. In the year that King Uzziah died. Again, I ask, is our Uzziah dead? Don't let Uzziah keep you from seeing God. Don't let that Uzziah keep you from seeing God. I need a drink of something here. I know what it is, but it is good. Makes you look tippy. No, it doesn't. It's hot water and honey, all right? That's a real secret recipe, all right? Don't let Uzziah keep you from seeing God. What is your Uzziah tonight? Hebrews chapter number 12 says, laying aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Not only the sin, we'll lay away the sin, but what about the weight that so easily besets us? And let us run with grace, with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's see him. Aren't you glad that God's good to your family? Aren't you glad that God's good to you? Aren't you glad that God has allowed you to live in America? And you think of all the good things in our life. And I dare say that those good things can be the thing that keeps us from fully seeing God. Is your Uzziah dead? I'll give you something in the New Testament here before we get done. I don't get ahead of myself. Our family. I'm grateful for my wife. But it would be a sin for my wife to come between me and my God. Hello? I'm grateful for my children, but it would be a sin for my children to come between me and serving my God. I'm grateful for this country, but it would be a sin for this country to come between me and serving my God. I'm grateful for friends, but any friend that keeps me from seeing God the way God desires, that becomes a weight or a sin. And these are good things. But the good things often are what gets in our way of seeing God. The desires that God grants us. God's been, oftentimes I think of the goodness of God, and all I can say is God's been better to me than what I ever deserve. The fact that he lets me live is more than I deserve. And the goals that we have in life. Boy, I'd like to do this and like to do that. If we're not careful, those goals can keep us from going the direction God wants us to do. Our possessions. Sometimes our hobbies. Uh-oh. I've quit preaching and gone to meddling there. Our hobbies can keep us from serving God and seeing God. I've got some things that I like to do. Basically, if you can do outdoors, that's my hobby. That's where I like to be. And I found out the best things to do outside is to worship God. But if that activity, if those things that we enjoy doing keep me from talking to God in prayer, that becomes something that stands in the way of God. If it keeps me from church, if it keeps me from telling others about Jesus, it becomes something that needs to die. in my life, the comforts of life. I want to just say this, let Uzziah die. Just let him die. Don't put him on life support. Oh, I'd like to just keep this going. I know I can't do it like I love, but I'd like to... Be careful about that. Let Uzziah die. Say this, when Uzziah dies, don't spend the rest of your life mourning the loss. You know, this is a sad thing. I've watched it so many times. Somebody loses a loved one, their life is ruined, and they spend the rest of their life mourning the loss of their loved one. I've watched it a number of times. Some folks that I think very highly of, I've watched that happen to them. Yes, there's a time for mourning, but then it's time to move on. Let them die. Let them go on. God took them so you can get a clearer picture of Him. Thank God for what they did while they were here, but they're no longer here. And sometimes we spend the rest of our life feeling sorry for myself. Why did God let that happen? Why did God take that situation? Why did God take that person? Why did God take my health from me? Why did God do that? And all of a sudden it becomes very obvious that our real God is ourselves. God, I wanted this, I expected this, and you didn't give me what I wanted. Forget you. I'm out of here. Let your Uzziah die, and don't spend the rest of your life mourning the death of Uzziah. Let me just give you a personal testimony. And most of you know me well enough. When I think of in the year that King Uzziah died, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I remember as a young Christian going forward at a missions conference, and Brother Scott Rehfeldt, some of you know him. He was a youth pastor at our church, and I remember him opening to this passage of Scripture, and I told him, I believe God wants me to be a missionary, but I'm not sure. And here God had me praying with a youth pastor that stuttered. And I was using the excuse, God, I can't talk to people. And here's somebody that I've heard him preach, stuttering. And he started reading the verse, and he finally got frustrated with it and pointed to it and said, here, you read it. We're going to be here all night if I keep trying to read this. And I think of surrendering to God and falling on my face before God. And I remember as a young Christian, dedicating my life to serve God and the family that I grew up in, that I loved dearly. And we were a close-knit family. We still are a close-knit family. But all of a sudden, I was outcast. I was one they didn't talk about, at least properly. And it had nothing good to say about me. And I... for a little bit, got bitter against God. God, why did you allow this to happen? Because that was my Uzziah that had to die. Because many people never serve God like they should because their family's in the way. It's too comfortable to stay at home. It's too comfortable to live with mom and dad and at peace with everybody in the house. That Uzziah has to be taken out of the way. And I dare say if that Uzziah didn't die, I would have never gone on to serve the Lord, and my family would have never come to know Christ as their Savior. I'm thankful that I just let Uzziah die and chose to seek the Lord instead. And I'll say many Uzziahs have died since then. Just like Isaiah, this was the first one, but it's not the last one. And many times we need to let Uzziah die. We need to get out of our element, out of our comfort zone. Well, this is just who I am. Learn by the grace of God to step outside of who you are. To be someone that you can't be on your own. That's letting Uzziah die. Letting that comfort zone and that place where you're used to and you're familiar with, saying, okay, we've been under this for years. Now let's get out from underneath this so that we can see God the way He desires to see us. So we can see God and we can see ourselves and we can fully surrender to Him. And by the way, that's what God's grace is all about. God doing in us what we cannot do on our own. And as long as we want to stay under Uzziah and mourn the days when the good old days, when we used to be able to do this and we used to be able to do that, let's get out from underneath Uzziah. Let's forget him. Let's mourn him for a little bit and let's move on so that we can see God. I want you to turn to one passage of Scripture and we'll be done in Luke chapter number 9. There's so many places I'd like to turn to in the New Testament, but I'll just use one illustration here in Luke chapter number 9, and Let me read a couple of passages of Scripture in Luke 9 to illustrate from the ministry of Jesus. Beginning in verse number 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, I'm surrendered. I'm committed to you. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay down his head. Well, he kind of had some second thoughts about that. You mean I can't stay at home and serve you? You mean I'm going to have to go somewhere? I'll follow you as long as I can stay at home. And then another man came in verse number 59, and Jesus said unto him, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Lord, I've got needs in my family. I can't leave my family at this time. I've got to stay here. And something tells me that the father wasn't dead yet. We're not talking about a funeral that's going to take place today and it'll be done tomorrow. We're talking about a man who needs care. His elderly father said, I've got to take care of my dad. Now, when he's gone, then I will follow you. And like so many began to make excuses. And Jesus was saying, in effect, let your Uzziah die. Let the dead bury the dead. Follow thou me. In verse number 61, another said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, and here's a key statement here in all these three men. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's some pretty strong words. Am I fit for the kingdom of God? Am I in the place where I can see God? What's the Uzziah that's... I know there are a lot of folks. In fact, some I talk to and they... I even heard some say it. And I know what they're thinking, even whether they say it or not. Well, if I get saved, what's my family going to say? What's going to happen in my home if I get saved? And Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Or when it comes to serving God, you know, if I leave home, what's going to happen? If I get out, I can't do that. And Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. God's called me to serve Him and to surrender to Him in the year that King Uzziah died. Again, Isaiah was already in the ministry. He had a successful career. He had a comfortable position. And God took Uzziah out of his life. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Because now, he can see God for who he is. Now, he can see himself for who he is. And now, God can begin to use him the way he desires. Again, I ask the question, is your Uzziah dead? What's standing in our way? It's a good question to ask yourself every day. What's standing in my way? From maybe it's my beauty sleep that I need. Lord knows I need a lot of that. I can't get up and serve the Lord. I've got to eat, drink, and I got to get my sleep. I've got to get my rest. I've got to do this. I got all these things. Let your Uzziah die, that you can see God. And sometimes, oftentimes, those things that God gives us. How many times have you seen someone, and we had the RU ministry, and Don still sees it in the jail ministry, somebody gets right with God, and they want to live for God, the first thing that's going to happen, the devil is going to answer two of their prayers. The first one, they're going to get a job that's going to take them out of church, take them out of the Bible. And the second one, God's going to give them a boyfriend or girlfriend that's going to keep them from serving God. Every single time. And until they realize Uzziah's need to die so I can see God. And they're no different than us. It's not so obvious in our life, but there are things oftentimes that are standing in our way from keeping us from serving. Well, this is what I want to do with my life. First of all, it's not your life to begin with. And second of all, that Uzziah needs to die so you can see God. You'd be amazed what God will do when you begin to see Him. How God can transform your life when you see him, when that Uzziah gets out of the way. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.